Amen. There we go. Praise God. Well, what I want to do this morning is I want to begin with a couple of testimonies. And this first testimony that goes back a very long time, before I met my dear wife, and which is a long time ago. It's actually must be 48 years ago at least. 50 years ago or thereabouts. Wedding anniversary coming up this week, must remember. And at that time, as a young Christian, I was part of a team that on a Saturday night used to go out into the clubs and the coffee bars and try and get into conversation with other young people to talk to them about the Lord. And this particular week, we were in a coffee bar in Ringwood. I don't know if it's still there, but you know what? And I don't suppose young people drink coffee anymore. I don't know what they do, but we were in this coffee bar in Ringwood, and we'd had a particularly successful evening, been in conversation with a number of people, and particularly with the manager of the coffee bar himself. One of the team had got into a good conversation with him, so much so that he was very close to receiving the Lord as his Saviour. And so during the week that followed, we made that a matter of earnest prayer, and we got others to pray as well. Pray for the manager of the coffee bar in Ringwood. Pray for the manager of the coffee bar in Ringwood. And we were looking forward expectantly to our next visit there, where we could really resume our conversations with him and really lead him through to knowledge of the Lord as his Saviour. And when we arrived there, we were disappointed to learn that he was no longer there and no longer employed there. And that was a disappointment, especially after we'd prayed. But nevertheless, we were able to get into conversation with some of the other people there. And so much so that during the course of the evening, one member of the team was able to lead a young man right through to salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was a terrific evening. And as we were trying to counsel and encourage this young man, we asked him who he was and what he was doing and what his job was. And he turned around and said, "Oh," he said, "I'm the new manager of the coffee bar." I just kind of thought, wow, I learned two very important things from that event. And the first one is this, that God always answers prayer, and God gives us what we pray for. So be careful how you pray and what you pray for. We prayed that the manager of the coffee bar would be saved, and he was. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And but the other thing I learned of a more sort of general nature, and this is really the subject of what I want to talk to you about this morning, is that we need to expect the unexpected. We need to expect the unexpected, because God always works in unexpected ways. We were not expecting that to happen. We were not expecting things to turn out the way that they did. And so we were delighted in that. Now, I'm sure that many of you here, probably most of you here, could give some similar testimonies for how sometimes God has answered prayer in unexpected ways. And Precious, are you there? Are you listening to me, Precious? Can you unmute yourself a minute? Your camera's Precious. There we go. Precious, would you be kind enough to tell the folk that lovely testimony that you gave us last Sunday afternoon about how God met your need in an unexpected way? Would you just like to share that for a few minutes? I'll mute myself and you can talk to the folk.
Okay, so this was basically about our visas. Our visas, normally we are permitted to stay in this country for 3 years, and after 3 years you have to renew the visas. And so it was time for us to renew the visas about April, and we needed close to between 10,000 and 12,000 pounds just to renew the visas. Okay, but we did not have the money. And it's not like we were irresponsible. It's just that we couldn't just save up enough money to be able to pay for these visas. And so I decided that I had a father in heaven and that I wasn't going to go anywhere borrowing money to go and pay for this visa application. I decided that it was time I behaved like somebody who had a father, that the silver and the gold is his. I decided that it was time to behave like somebody who had a father, that the governments were in his hands. He owns the world. He owns everything in the world. I decided it was time that when I prayed for God to answer my prayers, I would go around and begin to answer those prayers myself. I decided that it was time for me to put myself in a situation where God will have to come through for me. And so I decided I wasn't going to tell anybody, even though my husband was saying, but you know this person, you can speak to him and he can help us. And I was like, no, I am not talking to anybody about this. We are going to believe God. And honestly, I didn't know what we're going to do, but I just said, whatever comes out of this, I drew a line in the sand, and I decided that whatever came out of this, that we were going to bury. And then we would pray about it every day. We would call the children, and we would pray about it every time we had family prayers. And then one day, I came back from work, and my son told me, Mommy, a miracle has happened. And I said, what? And then he told me, Mommy, the visa applications that it had been extended by 1 year. Okay. And so we were very happy. So this gave us enough time to, you know, save some more money. And hopefully by the time it came around the next year, we would have enough money to pay. And then that was it. I was quite happy. But then 2 months later, God will do an even more miraculous thing. Now, the most expensive part of the visa is the health insurance. The health insurance for four of us alone is about, it's 2,000 pounds per person. So for four of us, it's 8,000 pounds. The government decided that they were going to scrap the health insurance for all NHS and care workers and brothers and sisters from 12,000 or 10,000 pounds, we just have 1,800 and something pounds to pay. Oh my God, I was crying. I said, God, you are wonderful. And brothers and sisters, it's time that when we say God is our Father, it's time for us to make it real. Amen. God is our Father. He cannot allow me to be abandoned. He says I am precious in his sight. He says that he honors me. He says he will care about me. And so God did this great miracle for us. And now I am just so grateful. I just want to encourage us, brothers, let's trust God. Our God wants to show himself strong, but we don't let him. Praise the Lord.
And thank you, Precious, especially for that testimony. And for the preach that went along with it, that was brilliant. And the point I wanted to make and emphasize was that God meets our need in ways that we do not expect. And if we look at various accounts of miracles and examples in the Bible, we can maybe kind of subdivide them in a number of ways. I mean, some people, and very often this happened when they prayed for things, when they asked for things, then their need was met and they received what they expected by faith. And many of the miracles of Jesus would fall into this sort of category. And they were not unexpected things. People came to him with various needs, or various needs were apparent, and those needs were met. That's exactly what I think happens for much of our prayer. But then there were certainly others in the scripture that received answers to prayer in ways that were totally unexpected. And there were certainly needs there, and they didn't realize how the needs were going to be met. But then God met the needs. I think, for example, of when Peter and Jesus had to pay their taxes, and Jesus said, go and put your hook in the lake and pull up a fish. And there in the fish's mouth was exactly the right amount of money to pay the tax. And an unexpected way in which a need was met. And then, of course, there are yet others who were not in particularly believing that they would receive anything from God. Unexpected blessing beyond what they had hoped or prayed for. And there are many examples of that in the Word of God. I think of the widow of Zarephath, who Elijah went to. And she was preparing the last meal for her and her son. She said, we're going to eat this, and after this, we're going to die, because that's all we've got. And yet, in an unexpected way, God provided for them through that miraculous oil and everything that she was able to use throughout the time of the famine. An unexpected blessing upon her life. There was another lady in Jesus' ministry. We don't know her name, but she was a widow, the widow of Nain, and her only son, the only breadwinner, he had died. A bit like South Africa, there's no social security or benefits, funeral benefits or anything like that. And when Jesus entered the city and he saw them carrying out the coffin, he touched it, and that son was raised again to life. An unexpected blessing, an amazing miracle that happened, that met a need in a totally unexpected way. And then, of course, we could recount some of the other miracles that are contained in scripture, which were totally unexpected. The people didn't expect these things to happen. The raising of Lazarus, they said, what on earth are you doing, Lord? Taking the stone away from the tomb, you know. He's been dead for 4 days. It's going to smell. It's going to be horrible. And he knew what he was doing. What an unexpected miracle, the raising of Lazarus. And how about the beggar at the beautiful gate of the temple when Peter and John came by? And it says in scripture that he looked to them expecting to receive something from them. But what he was expecting to receive was just a few coins, the price of a cup of tea or whatever they drank in those days. That's what he was expecting. But God gave him something way over and beyond that, something totally unexpected, where he was radically healed. And what an amazing miracle that not only blessed him, but was the means of very many more people coming to find the Lord as Saviour. Unexpected miracles. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Things that happen unexpectedly. And very often we find that things happen that were not expected. I mean, Noah's flood was totally unexpected to the people of his day. Noah preached and said, watch out, you know, you need to get on board the ark. They took no notice of him until the flood came and took them all away. It was unexpected because there had never been a flood like it before. In fact, some students of the Bible think it had never rained before. They take that verse in Genesis about God watering the earth with a mist from the ground to say, well, maybe that's how he continued to do it right from the creation right up until the time of Noah. And then it rained and it rained and it rained, and there was terrible flood, and that was so unexpected. What about the parting of the Red Sea? Nobody expected that to happen, did they? There they were, they thought they were trapped, they thought the Egyptians were after them, that there was no escape. And what did God do? He told Moses, stretch out your rod, and the sea parted. They were able to go through on dry land. And I mean, that's even a bigger miracle than we suppose, because not only did they get through on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they tried to follow, their waters came back and consumed them all. What an amazing, unexpected miracle that took place. Now, let me give you another example. That this one is one of my favorites, because I think it also shows something else that happened. How about Jonah and the whale? What an unexpected miracle that was. And there was Jonah, a prophet of God that had been given a particular commission from the Lord, and he'd rebelled, and he was running away and going in the opposite direction to Nineveh, where God had told him to go and preach. And after the storm, he was thrown overboard into the sea, and then God provided, it says, a big fish or a whale came and swallowed Jonah. Wow, that must have been totally unexpected. Just imagine, you were Jonah, and there you were in the middle of the sea, and there were storms and wind and rain around you, and you thought you were going to drown. And all of a sudden, you see this great big thing coming towards you, and it goes, whoa, gotcha. And God prepared that fish to take Jonah back to where he needed to be. What an unexpected miracle that was, wasn't it? And the reason I particularly like that example is that it brought Jonah back to the job that he was originally scheduled to do. And sometimes God will do something unexpected in our lives to bring us back to that place where we needed to be, where perhaps we'd taken a wrong turn in time past. And I find that particularly challenging. And I find it great that God would use such an unexpected event to turn things around and put us back upon the right course. Amazing, unexpected events that are there for us in Scripture. But I think probably in Scripture, the most unexpected event, or certainly the most important unexpected event of them all, was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. God had planned it, Jesus had predicted it, but nobody saw it coming. In fact, even when it happened, they couldn't believe it. Mary Magdalene, she was the first to see Jesus when he was risen. She didn't believe it, and she thought he was the gardener. And it wasn't until he spoke to her that she realized that it was Jesus. And the other women that were with her, who had been to the tomb, they didn't believe it until he appeared to them also. And then the disciples didn't believe it, and until Jesus appeared to them. It was just so unexpected, so out of the ordinary, something that, you know, they just couldn't comprehend how this could ever be possible. And they didn't believe it either. Except possibly John. There's a verse in John's Gospel that when it says, when John looked into the tomb when Jesus had risen, it says he saw and believed. But it was a totally unexpected event. And of course Thomas the Apostle, he wasn't with the other disciples when Jesus made that appearance to them. And he still didn't believe it, even though all his mates said, yeah, we've seen the Lord, he's risen. He said, no, I don't believe any of that. I think you're making it up, you're pulling my leg. Don't do this to me. And Jesus makes a return visit. And that return visit of Jesus to the disciples when Thomas was with them was done especially for Thomas. Jesus didn't do anything else on that visit apart from tell Thomas, hey, here I am, now do you believe? And it really is hard, isn't it, for us, for people in Bible days, just to get our heads round events that are so unexpected. And that resurrection was the most unexpected event in history, and the most important event in history. Every sermon that we have recorded that Peter preached, he mentions the resurrection, fundamental to our salvation and to Christianity, that Jesus rose and is alive today. And friends, the next great event in God's timeline will also be totally unexpected. And I'm referring, of course, to what we call the rapture. We don't know when it's going to be, but we know it's going to be soon, and we need to be ready for when it occurs. Writing to the Thessalonian church, Paul says, "The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." That amazing event which we look forward to, even though we know it's coming, will come unexpectedly. It will even come unexpectedly to us, because we don't know when it's going to happen, and it will certainly come unexpectedly to the rest of the world who don't believe these kind of things are going to happen at all. But they're going to find out, and we'll be gone. We'll be up, on, off, out of it. Hallelujah. Unexpected events that God is going to do for us. It says in Titus, it says, "Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ." And in Philippians, Paul says, "We eagerly wait for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ." The next great unexpected event that's going to take place on planet Earth. Now, whilst we've looked at those events in the Bible, those that have happened, those that one that is yet to happen, I think that we ought to be able to transfer this principle to our regular daily lives and to our current situation. Because even today, as we continue to outwork our Christian life, there are unexpected events occurring. Nobody expected the coronavirus. If they expected it, they would have planned for it and they would have known what to do. But nobody expected that it would happen. Nobody knew the disruptions that it would cause to normal life. That was, again, was totally unexpected. And nobody yet knows what future changes to our way of life it might bring about. And this, I think, especially applies to us, or we are interested in the application that we have with regard to our church meetings, and we were speaking about it a little bit earlier. I don't believe church is going to be the same. Could be that the way we're meeting now will be part of the ongoing future of church. So many churches are testifying to the fact that very many more people are joining them online than they would normally get in their church services, in their buildings. And so I believe that we should expect God to act in an unexpected way. And that is, I think, what is in the process of taking place right now. And even for our church, I think that we should be ready to expect the unexpected. It could mean that there will be some permanent rearrangements of our church program. It could mean that there could be some new ways of doing things, maybe like this, on an ongoing basis. It could also mean that we start meeting in different places and in new ways, maybe new facilities might become available to us. I believe there's going to be a lot of property put on the market as a result of firms going out of business. Who knows what God might do? We need to expect the unexpected for our fellowship. I believe that there will be new opportunities for outreach. People who have, during this time of lockdown, have really had time to think and consider their lives and ask questions about what life is all about, and a softening of the ground which will make it fertile ground for the seed of the gospel message. New opportunities for outreach among new people, new contacts seeking answers to those big questions of life. And then also I believe that we should expect the unexpected spiritual development of people that perhaps we thought weren't really going anywhere. And I would love to see a great resurgence in the spiritual temperature of very many people. People beginning to really seek the Word of God, really read the Word of God, and to seek God's plan for their lives, and to understand that God has got a really important job for them to do. One of the unexpected miracles of the Bible that we didn't make mention of was the conversion of the Apostle Paul, or Saul as he was known at the time. And who could have expected that such a man that was opposed to everything that the church was about and actively seeking to destroy the church, he was the one that God would meet with, and he would be the one responsible for the evangelization of much of the known world at the time. Expect the unexpected. And as we see people develop and grow and turn around and backslide is restored, I believe we're going to see some potential leaders and even new leaders within our own fellowship because of what God is doing in an unexpected way. And the result of all of these actions will be growth of the church, growth of our church, but growth of the church at large. Expect the unexpected. Friends, things are going to be different as we move forward. And I actually don't want to go back to how we were before. That was great. It's probably in many ways better than it is now. At least we're able to meet face to face. But I don't want things to be the same as they were spiritually. I want us to have moved forward. I want us to be expecting God to move in a new and a radical way. And friends, let's not be afraid of change. If let's allow God to speak to us and make some radical changes to the way we do our meetings or the way we do our outreach or whatever. And I think it requires us to think outside the box, as they say, and do some things differently to how we have done them even in the past, to innovate and to do new things. And as we do that, as we expect the unexpected, as we prepare ourselves for how God will use us and work through us, then I believe we will see a mighty move forward and a mighty harvest of souls. So many people have prophesied that there will be a great ingathering before the Lord returns. And I am praying and believing for that, and believing that we as a group of people can be a part of that. Let me just conclude by recapping on my allusion to the prophet Jonah. Jonah, after he was swallowed by the whale, that's the bit people remember. What did he do after that? The whale brought him back to the place where he should have been. And he went and he preached and he fulfilled the original calling that God had got for him. I think this talks to us about very many people who we thought had just kind of given up and bottled out. God's going to bring people back. God's going to bring us back. If we've got a calling placed on our lives, he's going to reposition us back to where we should be. And Jonah was then able to go to the city of Nineveh that God had called him to, and he was able to preach repentance. And do you know what? As a result of his preaching, hundreds and thousands of people repented and turned back to follow the Lord. I would like to equate Nineveh to Salisbury and beyond, and to see very many people saved as a result of God doing some unexpected things among us. So can I encourage you not just to sit back and float around and just, one day we'll get back to how it was, and you know, won't it be wonderful when we can give people a hug again and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, well, that'd be really good. But you know, let's look beyond that. Let's look at what God has yet to do, because God is a God of the unexpected, and God is going to bless us and use us in unexpected ways. Thank you for listening to that. I'm going to give opportunity later, as we're going to close, if you like, the formal part of the meeting. We're going to sing another song in just a moment. Ruth's tuning a guitar up, but then if there are others that want to testify or share, or if God has spoken to you and you've just got a word that follows on from, great, that'd be great, Tony. Let's do that in just a moment. But I'm going to just ask Ruth. Is it Ruth that's leading us, or Glenda? Ruth.
Yeah,
and then we'll have some testimony time and prophetic time for a few moments after these things. Amen.